This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find that in the previous khutbah that we find, or in general, many times we quote what can be mentioned linguistically basic ahadith, but some of us don't seem to implement these teachings. The last hadith that we mentioned, we touched upon, مِنْ حُسْنِ إِسْلَامِ الْمَرْءِ تَرْكُهُ مَا لَا يَعْنِيهِ. From the good perfection of one's Islam is to leave something which doesn't concern the individual. And today's hadith is no exception, is another basic hadith that we find as hadith number 9 in Imam Nawawi's collection of 40 ahadith or 42 ahadith. And before we enter into this hadith, it shows the ahmiyyah, the importance that certain things, that certain people, that they write and they do, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes qubool for them, writes barakah inside their works and inside the actions that they do, that it lasts for a longer time. And thus we find that the works of Imam Nawawi, many times we mention, the effects of this have lasted centuries on, that people to this day, such a small risala, such a small book of just 42 ahadith, that the impact is so vast. And thus we find that Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali wrote 2 volumes, or even printed in 1 volume, you find hundreds of pages, literally hundreds of pages explaining these 242 ahadith, and some of them are just 2 or 3 words or just a single line showing the ahmiyyah, the importance. And thus a person shouldn't think that they've read knowledge and think that's it, because some of these ulum, some of these sciences have a big impact on the tarbiyah of the person. A person needs to, throughout their life, go back and refer to these works. And likewise, you find قَبْلَ ذَلِكْ أَهْمِيَةُ التَّوْحِيدِ, that some people think just by reading a few books of Tawheed, they've understood Tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, maybe it might be partially true, you've understood Tawheed. أَمَّا ثَمَرَاتُ التَّوْحِيدِ, as for the fruits of Tawheed, the impact of Tawheed, those fruits that you find will only come when a person continuously reads works of Tawheed and the explanation to have a deeper focus and commitment. And before both of these books or these explanations that we find comes the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As many ulama mentioned, that the ultimate book of Tawheed is the Qur'an. The ultimate book of Tarbiyah is the Qur'an. And thus a person's relationship with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should remain throughout their life. And thus we find that the best traveler, the best one who ends a journey, is one who continues another journey. So the person who completes the Qur'an in this blessed month of Ramadan, they continue again. They don't close the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that leave it for the following Ramadan or another opportunity. That's the Quran when it begins, it speaks about this. كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِهِمْ كَأَنَّمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, that they throw the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala behind their backs as if they don't know. Obviously there's a deeper meaning about ahkam and rules and regulations, but a general meaning is there. That some of us Muslims, that as soon as Ramadan is over, then the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is thrown behind our backs. Inside Surah Al-Furqan that we find a messenger say, Ya Rabbi, inna qawmi ittakhadu hadha al-Qur'an mahjura. Wa qala al-Rasul, the messenger say, oh my Lord, indeed my people have abandoned this book. That's why I read Imam Nawawi, how he explains about mahjura, the meaning of abandoning the Qur'an, leaving the Qur'an. Tarkuhu, tark qira'atuhu, or tadabburuhu, leave reading the Qur'an, pondering over it. When ta'amal bil Quran and tutabbiqul Quran, as Imam Hassan al-Basri mentioned inside the ayat, kitabun anzalnahu ilayka mubarakun liyadabbaru ayatihi wa liyatadakkara ulul albab. Quran is to tadabbur, reflection, meaning, and tutabbiqul Quran, to try to live the Quran and try to implement the Quran, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's in today's hadith that we find, ma nahaytukum anhu fajtanibuhu wa ma amartukum bihi faf'alu minhu mastata'tum. Whatever I tell you to stay away from, stay away from it. Whatever I command you to do, do as much of it as you can to your capability. فَإِنَّمَا أَهْلَكَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ كَثْرَةُ مَسَائِلِهِمْ وَاخْتِلَافُهُمْ عَلَى أَنْبِيَائِهِمْ. Indeed, that which destroyed the people that came before you was their excessive questioning and their differing against the prophets. As it mentions, hadith number 9 in Imam Nawawi's 42 hadith inside the collection of Imam Muslim that we find. And thus we find we don't seem to take heed. We don't seem to implement, as we began with these basic, simple teachings of the Qur'an, of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All this hadith is actually a reflection of a verse inside the Qur'an. Inside Surah Al-Hashr, the 59th chapter, verse number 7, we find, وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Whatever the messenger tells you to take, take it. Whatever he tells you to stay away from, stay away from it. And if we look deeper into this verse, because some of us just stop at this part of the verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. Fear Allah, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is severe in punishment. Because many of us, unfortunately, we have this lenient approach towards Islam. That we always sway towards the mercy, the rahmah, the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا شَكْ فِي ذَلِكَ. There's no doubt about that. At certain moments, a person goes towards the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the month of Ramadan, in the al-maut, in the al-khawf. A person has that. But throughout one's life, that a person يَعْصِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then says فَهُوَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah will pardon and forgive me. Oh, I don't have to implement so much of the life of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. So the warning is there. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if you fall short, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is at the same time شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ, is severe in punishment as well. So to carry out the commandments and avoid the prohibitions. The beginning of the hadith, مَا نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْهُ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ. Whatever I tell you to stay away from, stay away from it. And thus we find ulama have mentioned that there's no leniency, no choice. إِذَا كَانَ الشَّيْءُ haram, something is haram, then you have to stay away from it. You can't enter some parts of haram, or do some elements of haram, or find some rukhsa, some excuse, some leniency. The wording is فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ, stay away from it. And as ulama of usul al-fiqh have mentioned, al-ijtinaba ashaddu min al-tahrim. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the words فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ, stay away from it, is far more severe than saying حُرِّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ, this is something which is haram upon you. Meaning at all expense, at all costs, you have to stay away from ever coming close to this action or falling into this action. So anything which is haram, person needs to stay away from it. Not come anywhere close towards that. And thus you find a hadith which is da'if, اتَّقِ الْمَحَارِمْ تَكُنْ أَعْبَدَ النَّاسِ. Even though hadith is da'if, but the ma'na is there. Fear the haram things, avoid the haram things. تَكُنْ أَعْبَدَ النَّاسِ. You become the most pious of people. The good worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we mentioned, hadith is da'if, but the meaning is there. Avoid the haram things. This is the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You find other authentic hadith that the only way that a person comes close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has obligated to the individual. When a person fulfills that, then to do the sunan, then to do the nawafil. And this brings a person more and more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not to do the nawafil at the expense of the fara'id. As we find in Salatul Taraweeh, that many people are overzealous about it. There's no doubt they should be overzealous. But that same zealousness, that same zeal, that same passion, isn't there for some people for the fara'id, for the obligatory prayers. People rush home early to get ready, to get dressed, to perfume themselves, to make sure to come to the masjid, to pray Salatul Taraweeh, to participate. هذا خير. لا شك في ذلك. That's good. But where's that same zeal and passion for the daily salawat? For as-salah bil-jama'ah? In the masjid. Where's that same zeal and passion? Do we feel upset if we're getting late for Taraweeh? Some of us, we get frustrated, we get worried. We may get angry with our family members, you're delaying me. Where's that same feeling for the fara'id, for the obligatory prayers? Where's that same feeling for Salatul Isha? Where's that same feeling for Salatul Fajr? That is a symbol of Iman. When a person has that frustration, that worry about coming for Salah every single day, in the masjid, that worry, that's a symbol of Iman. That's a symbol that the impact of Ramadan, the impact of these nawafil actions has increased that person to come closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِهِ فَأْتُوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. And whatever I command you to do, do as much of it as you can. Try your best. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as you can. Try your best. Exert yourself. Ishara huna, that the person, human beings will fall short. We will slip, we will err, we will fall short. We won't reach that full mark. But at least you're trying. يَا يُلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as you can. And do not die except for in a state of submission. The second part of the hadith speaks about those people, as in today's language, nitpicking, picking small things, unnecessary questioning or unnecessary reasoning and justification about the teachings of Islam that we find. And that's even inside some of the wordings of this hadith that we find. فَإِنَّمَا أَحْلَكَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ كَثْرَةُ مَسَائِلِهِمْ. That this hadith was to do with a person asking the Prophet ﷺ about Hajj. A man came to the Prophet ﷺ and asked him, should we perform Hajj kulla am, every single year? فَسَكَتَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ السَّلَامُ. Then he asked again. Then he asked for a third time. And the Prophet ﷺ said that if I said yes, then it will become obligatory upon you. Meaning Allah's allowed you to perform Hajj, once in a lifetime will suffice. There's no need to ask this question, do I need to do it every single year? And then you find that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned this part of the hadith, فَإِنَّمَا أَهْلَكَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ كَثْرَةُ مَسَائِلِهِمْ. What destroyed the people before you is their excessive questioning. Just like today, many Muslims would again and again ask questions. Many things of Islam are crystal clear what we need to do. But people would ask intricate questions. Sometimes there may be a need for them. But sometimes these are just questions which are just hypothetical questions. That's many of the ulama, they said, leave these hypothetical questions, that when we come to that scenario, then we'll deal with it. So that's we find that some of the ulama, they used to blame people of ashab ra'i, people of opinion, excessive questioning and opinions that they had that were outside the remit of the lives that they were living in at that time. A relevant verse inside the Quran that we find, يَا يُلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَسْأَلُوا عَنْ أَشْيَاءَ إِن تُبْدَلَكُمْ تَسُؤْكُمْ. Inside Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 101, are you believe? Don't ask questions that if the answer is given to you, then this may begin to harm you or begin to trouble you. If you read the sabab al-nuzul of this ayah, as Imam Tabari, inside his tafsir, he mentions, and prior to, as narrated by Ibn Abbas in a hadith in Bukhari, Ibn Abbas mentioned, أَنَّ الصَّحَابَ, the companions, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَلَىٰ عَنْهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ, they only asked about 12 questions. They asked 12 questions. They weren't asking excessive questions again and again to the Prophet ﷺ, but they used to rejoice. إِذَا جَاءَ رَجُلٌ مِنْ أَهْلُ الْبَادِيَةِ or مِنْ السَّحْرَىٰ, a person came, a Bedouin Arab came from the desert or came from outside, he asked questions, they would rejoice. Listen carefully, that now they're going to increase in some knowledge what this person could be asking. As for futile questioning, the Quran and the Sunnah was crystal clear for them. So you find in this narration side Bukhari that you find كَانَ قَوْمْ يَسْأَلُونَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِسْتِهْزَاءً. That's why this verse was sent down. Some people used to come in and make a joke with the Prophet عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَسَلَّمَ. فَيَقُولُ الرَّجُلُ مَنْ أَبِي. Person would come and say, who's my father? فَيَقُولُ الْآخَرُ تَدِلُّ النَّاقَةِ. My camel has got lost. أَيْنَ النَّاقَةِ. Where's my camel? This is the type of question, just trying to make a joke, a mockery about Islam, and make a mockery of the Prophet عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَسَلَّمَ. And we might find small glimmers of this inside the Muslim society, unfortunately. That they make Islam a mockery, they make jokes about Islam. They ridicule Islam, they question Islam. And the Quran is very clear about this. That those individuals, قُلْ أَبِاللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. Say, were you making jokes about the Prophet ﷺ, about Allah and the Prophet ﷺ? لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ. Don't make no excuses. You've committed disbelief after Iman. Ibn Taymiyyah uses ayah to say anybody who makes a joke about Islam, فَهُوَ كَافِرٌ. فَهُوَ كَافِرٌ. He's apostated, left the fold of Islam for a person who makes that. And that's the ayah that continues speaks that these individuals, they say that we were only passing time. We're only amusing ourselves. That's what we were doing. We didn't really mean to intend to upset the Prophet alayhi salatu salam that we find. وَاخْتِلَافُهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنْبِيَائِهِمْ. What else destroyed these people? They're going against their prophets. Just like today that we find the clearest example of excessive questioning that we find inside the Quran is amongst our own selves, questioning the sunnah of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. Every single day, we find Muslims posing questions, asking about authenticity and whether we should practice the sunnah of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. Or dismantling his sunnah, ridiculing his sunnah, turning away from his sunnah. Inside the Quran, Allah mentions about excessive questioning. Right in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah. The whole Surah Al-Baqarah is based upon this theme. About posing questions to Musa alayhi salam, Bani Israel. They were always asking questions again and again and again. Commandments were given to them, but they always wanted to slither away like a snake. Try to find some justification of what they're doing. Whether it be Ashabu Sabt, the people of the Sabbath, whether it be about this commandment about Baqarah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَذْبَحُوا Baqarah. The whole theme, Surah Al-Baqarah, is revolving around this, whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them just to sacrifice the haifa, sacrifice a cow. What happened? They started to ask, what type of cow? What color? All cows look similar to us. How should we do it? Can we do it? When should we do it? فَشَدَّ عَلَيْهِمْ They became harsh, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala became harsh upon them. Made it hard for them to find the right cow to sacrifice it. If they'd just taken any cow and sacrificed it, that would have been sufficient. As Ibn Kathir mentions in his tafsir, that the whole qissah of Al-Baqarah that we find is there was a rich man that his nephew is going to inherit from him because impotent, he had no children. So the nephew in his haste, هذا من أقاويل أو أقوال في عند العلماء في في التفسير. So the nephew just quickly killed his uncle to get the wealth. So to find out who the killer was, Musa alayhi salam told him just to kill a cow and then just to take a bone. As the ayah mentions, just take a bone and strike the dead individual. He came to life. I had the mu'jiza min Allah. Came to life and said, such and such individual killed me. That's all they had to do. But because of them going around the block, continuously asking and asking, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it hard upon them. And this is what destroys this Muslim ummah as well. Of differing amongst our prophets that we find, differing against the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we find. And thus, this is how we began the Qur'an. Surah Al-Baqarah is how we began the Qur'an. That's what ulama mentioned. Al-ibra bi'umum al-lafzi la bi-khususi sabab. The Qur'an, this reading of the Qur'an, may Allah forbid, may become a hujjah against us. If we don't apply the Qur'an, all of this that we read inside the Qur'an right from the beginning, that some of us we think this is talking about Ahlul Kitab, this is talking about Al-Yahud, about Al-Nasara, Quraysh, Al-Arab, speaking about them, Al-Mushrikun, a stray individual, misguided individual, Juhal, Sufaha. مَا لِي أَيْ تَدَخُلْ فِي هَذَا This doesn't concern me. These are asatir al-awwaleen, these are ancient tales that Allah is narrating about. They don't concern me. Then you haven't understood the Qur'an. لما تقرأ القرآن تتصور وتخيل في نفسك أن القرآن يخاطبك. When you read the Qur'an, you should ponder and reflect that the Qur'an is speaking to me. That's how a person should approach the Qur'an. That's what Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned. If you want to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then قُمْ لِلصَّلَاةِ Then stand for salah. And you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to speak to you, then read the Qur'an. So when you're reading the Qur'an, you feel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to you, this is iman. That the impact of the Qur'an, you're reading the Qur'an, that you're pondering and reflecting over these ayat, you're not there thinking that these ayat are speaking just about Musa alayhi salam. You're taking the impact, the lessons of these ayat, the mistakes of these people, and their sins and their vices are learning from them and not carrying them out in our own lives. And that's that we find the reason for this verse. This is what many of us Muslims will live in today as well. I need to understand the reason of why I do something inside my life. If I understand my actions, then I will do it. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may give you the reason. He may give you the fawaid. He may give you the hikam. He may give you the wisdom. He may give you the farasa, the understanding. But most times, the reasoning isn't there. وَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا We hear and we obey. Unlike هَؤُلَاءِ وَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَصَيْنَا We hear and we disobey. When we're reading inside the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةِ That's it. Establish the salah. Not to question that living in the West, living in a foreign country, living amongst non-Muslims, living in my workplace, living in a different environment, is this really applicable inside my lives? Wearing of hijab that we find, is it really applicable in today's time? The Qur'an is not more explicit and clear and sarih than the ayat of hijab inside the Qur'an. There's no ayat that's so crystal clear that are inside the Quran, like ayatul hijab. وَحَتَّى كَلِمَ خِمَارٌ. Just that one kalima is sufficient. فَأَيِّ وَاحِدْ يَفْهَمْ لُغَ الْعَرَبِيَةِ. For any individual who understands the Arabic language, that is linguistic specialists that we have, who boast about their ilm, boast about their knowledge. If they just understand this one word, they'd understand what is libsul mar'a. What the actions, what the dress of a Muslim woman is. And likewise for our Muslim sisters that we find. If they just read the Quran, maybe they don't want to listen to us, they don't want to listen to their husband, don't want to listen to ulama, don't want to listen. Because maybe they find that there's some hardship or some difficulty or some harsh words. Read the Quran. Read the Quran and it's crystal clear the actions we need to do and not to this excessive questioning that we find. And likewise, what you find modern interpretations we began with of Aklu Riba. How many Muslims every single day asking the same question? But it's Dorura, it's necessity, I'll have nowhere to live. Is this bank really halal? I'm not going to pay any interest. I'm signing a contract that after 5 years, there's no interest then, maybe, but I'll pay off the money. These are all questioning. Ulama have mentioned that even that they say there's no interest. The minute you sign the contract, you sign the contract that I agree, because you read the wording in great detail, if you default, you will pay interest. Not whether you are going to pay it or not going to pay it, or you're going to pay it within the time. That wording inside the contract, which is in every single contract, that after 5 years you don't pay this money back, or you default, or you miss payments, you will be charged interest. This is the line that makes the whole contract haram. Not your belief that I'll pay off the money, I'll raise the money, I'll borrow the money, I'll give the money, and I'm quite sure I'll pay the money. This COVID-19 is a proof and evidence in itself that all the people of us that we had dreams that I'm going to do this, I'm going to earn this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to buy this, I'm going to exchange this, I'm going to complete this, has all collapsed. This is a pure sign. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us about. That don't think that you can play God. Don't think you can play God on the face of this earth, that you control things. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that controls. And likewise, you find these excessive questioning day in and day out about musiqa, about ikhtilat, about music, free mixing, haram things that we find. Every single day people are asking these questions. لماذا? لأنه ضعف الإيمان قلة الإيمان. Weakness of iman, in the words of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, in the words of the Quran, that we begin to have these excessive questioning and differing with our prophets, that leads us to this destruction that we're facing with Allah. This excessive questioning that we find has led us amongst the average Muslims, which is quite sad to mention, that we ask such questions, that why do we fast? Why do we pray? Why do we wear hijab? You know, we would think that these are questions coming from people who are atheists, people who have no belief. These are common questions that many Muslims, especially living inside the West, are beginning to ask these questions. That why do we do, or why should we carry out these actions? And there's even this which is rising inside our society, that why do we believe in Allah? Why do we believe in Allah? We don't need to go into technicalities, but maybe just a small answer. When you die, you'll believe why you need to believe in Allah. When you leave this dunya, you'll know then. That's the only time you're going to know then, that why you needed to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as you find that many of us as well, or some of us, that we find the mindset and our understanding is Islam when it fits into my life, when it fits into my time, when it fits into my schedule, that's how I'm going to worship Allah. Sounds strange, but that's what many of the people around us, that's what their life has become. When I find the time, when I'm ready, I will worship Allah. Kalla wa hasha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say that to us. كل يوم هو في شأن فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان. Every day Allah gives. Every day Allah gives. في شأن gives to everybody. فاجر وكافر تقي مؤمن. Gives to everybody, responds to every single individual. He doesn't say, I'm going to delay, I'm not going to do this. He gives to all of us. فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان. So which of the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do we reject? وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you try to count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can never ever count them, enumerate them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continuously gives. But the guidance is only for those He loves. Guidance is only for who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selects and guides them to His path. Guides them to obedience. And that's what we need to ask ourselves. How do we worship Allah? Do we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the depths of our hearts? From the inner elements of our hearts that we want to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what ibadah is. That within ourselves, there is a yearning. Just like we have the carnal desires. When we want to open our fast, we have a desire for food, for drink. It's a natural desire. Likewise, a person should have that natural desire built within themselves to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how strange it is in a hadith that we find. لِمُؤْمِن فَرْحَتَان. The believer has two moments of rejoicing inside their life. They'll have. One is inside this dunya, and the other one is inside al-akhirah. The one inside this dunya is عند الإفطار. When a person breaks their fast, they feel that sweetness of halawa of ta'a lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second farh, second happiness, عند اللقائي. لِقَاءِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى is when the believer meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the second. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to make that haram upon us, not to prevent us from meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاضِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاضِرَةٌ. On that day, faces will be radiant, they will be glowing, looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus we find this excessive question. We began with the ayah, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُضُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. Read the tafsir of this ayah. Of the excessive question is woman of Ya'qub who came inside tafsir Ibn Kathir, who asked this excessive questioning and how these women who carry out these practices are cursed. And thus we find that in conclusion that the life is simple. A Muslim is a simple life that we find. These simple teachings are this hadith. Stay away from forbidden, prohibited things inside our lives. Do as much good as you can whilst you're living, and leave behind some form of sadaqa jariya that will benefit you when you leave this world. This, what destroyed us before, the downfall of the people before and us, is going to be excessive questioning. And fourthly, find, do not go against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Exert yourselves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability in his final moments of Ramadan to rectify our affairs with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our meagerly actions in this blessed month of Ramadan of as-salah, was-siyam, wal-qiyam, wal-ruku, was-sujood, was-sadaqat, wal-khayrat, the goodness that we've been trying to do inside this world of good deeds, of praying, of fasting, whatever good deeds we've been doing. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to multiply these rewards, multiply these small actions to be mountains of goodness inside al-akhirah. Thus, you find some of the ulama mentioned that reward inside Ramadan is multiplied 70 times over and even far beyond that. So a person should exert themselves to do as many good deeds inside his blessed month of Ramadan. And likewise, the signs of a good Ramadan is you find atharu Ramadan, signs of Ramadan, leads a person to carry out other actions for the rest of the year. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destines us for us to come to another Ramadan, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for tawfiq and ability to excel even more in the following month of Ramadan.